said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No,
I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an addict.
Sportaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
And welcome back to Sportsaholics episode number 153. We're going to get back to the associating the episodes with the numbers 53. Daryl Dawkins, rest in peace, passed away 2 years ago this past August. He was the first to jump straight into the pros from high school. Averaged 30 points, 21 rebounds a game in outside of Orlando growing up. Could have gone to Florida State, Kansas, you know, Kentucky, anywhere. Anyway, went fifth overall in the 75 draft from the Sixers. Got a nice $1 million contract. Got his family out of poverty. That was the reason he cited that he wanted to be the first to go straight pro out of high school. But, you know, Daryl Dawkins, he's the guy that invented names for all of his dunks. So it was like Dr. Dunkenstein. It was pretty much everything Parliament related. Was the name of, like, Chocolate Thunder, I guess. What's the blind guy? Stevie Wonder, I guess, gave him. Stevie Wonder used to come to the Philadelphia games and listen to him play, I guess. But Daryl Dawkins, rest in peace. You're an amazing dunker. The one dunk you guys have all seen, actually, I'll bring this back to Kansas City, where he shattered the backboard. It actually happened in Kansas City. November 13th, 1979, against the former Kansas City Kings, Bill Robinson, I believe, or Robinson. Anyway, that's the dunk that you guys have all seen from Daryl Dawkins. But anyway, guys, welcome back. This week we got a great episode. We've got Austin Evan Wright from Adrenaline Racing is going to be on later in the episode just to talk about kind of this fast-growing industry that is drone racing. He's putting together a tour next summer, or he has put together a tour that will be going to 14 cities all across the country next summer. We'll get into that. And of course, if you're interested, by all means, he's got some great advice as far as where to go to sign up for leagues, you know, what kind of equipment you need, coffee break, and, you know, that sort of stuff. Real quick with sponsors. Guys, we all love to drink beer, but have you thought about eating beer? If you go to regrained.com, that's regrained, GRAINED.com. They actually take, it's called upcycling. They take brewer's malt and some of the ingredients that are used to make the beer, and instead of throwing them away once they're processed for the alcohol, they actually combine them with just a lot of honey, fruit, nuts. They're really good. So if you go to regrained.com, you can order a couple cases. I've got two sitting right here, one of each flavor. They're delicious, healthy, and it's just something different than a power bar. It's like, how many Tiger's milk and power bars can you eat in your life? Just mix it up is all I'm saying. Regrained.com. If you guys need any shirts printed up, go to UnionPressKC.com. UnionPressKC. They got some good holiday sales going on. If you need anything for a family reunion, basketball team, softball, anything that you would need, a shirt or hoodie or anything designed, printed up, they'll take care of you. UnionPressKC.com. And last but not least, if you're in Southern California, Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street in beautiful La Jolla, California, at Eat a Burrito, all across social media. But if you're in Southern California, you know, San Diego area, by all means, go to Don Carlos Shop, Kitty Catty Corner from the world-famous comedy store in La Jolla. So go check out some of his delicious food. Okay, what's new with me? past couple weeks have been a lot of traveling back and forth to Kansas City twice, unfortunately, for some funeral and memorial service for my grandfather, 97 years. John Schieser himself, with an H though, J-O-H-N. Unfortunately passed away about 3 weeks ago. So 97-year-old World War II veteran, great guy. Got to speak at the memorial, which was very nice, and it was just lovely. A lot of great things, you know, when anyone passes away, you know, in this case my grandfather, who I've only known for, you know, 3.5 decades, really, since, you know, that's how old I am. But, you know, when you're 97, there's people coming in telling stories from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and it was nice. And so, you know, as when anyone that you love or care about passes, you know, you can't pick up the phone, you can't call that person anymore, you can't ask their opinions and thoughts, you can't call them for a laugh, or, you know, whatever that conversation would be with that person. And that's, you know, that is life. But luckily, I got to spend a lot of great time with my grandfather before he had passed. Got to see him actually just 4 times in the weeks leading up to his passing. So very blessed for that. But where I'm going with this is just call that person, just say hi to that person. You know, it doesn't even have to be, you know, you don't even have to love them, but it's someone that you care about. Especially around the holidays, it feuds over. I've heard of some of the worst family feuds, like over. I said I was bringing the mashed potatoes, and you always bring the mashed potatoes, and that's why I haven't talked to you in 4 years. I mean, that's how deep some, like how stupid some of these, you know, family rifts are over food and all sorts of stuff. Now, if your brother banged your ex-wife, okay, yeah, don't talk to him. That's fine. But I'm just saying, if you guys both brought roasts last year for Thanksgiving when Stacy said she was going to, and then you did it intentionally, you know, whatever the feud is, just drop it. It's not worth it. Just think about, there's someone right now that you can't stand in your family. Just think about that person right now. They nag. They make weird comments on your Facebook posts. But they're your family. They're your friends. So just reach out to that person. Just to hit them with a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, you know, a Kwanzaa, or, you know, just a happy, you don't worship any gods, Happy Holidays thing. Whatever you want to go with. But just let bygones be bygones. You'll be happy. Happier off, I feel like. You know, bury that hatchet. You don't want any regrets in life, right? Pardon me. I've been working on this roastery coffee I brought back from Kansas City. Another shout out to amazing coffee makers there. All right, what I want to get. Ray Allen got catfished. Ray Allen, what are you doing, buddy? I mean, just take your millions and just go away. Don't. I mean, that's the problem. Like, I don't think old people understand. Not that he's old, 40, but they don't understand what the internet is nowadays. It's kind of like when Brett Favre got stuck with that dick pic from like 7 years ago. It's like, what are you doing? Like, of course, yeah, there's a thing called screenshotting. But shame on you, Ray Allen. I mean, you've got kids. I mean, it's always embarrassing, but he got blackmailed and then the stuff came out anyway. And anyway, I don't even want to get into it. I just wanted to point out that Ray Allen is he's one of the greatest NBA three-point shooters. I think the greatest three-point shooter of all time. And you can't sniff out some blackmailing early on. Just stay off social media if you're over 40 is where I'm getting going with that. Washington, Mike Leach. You guys remember Mike Leach from Texas Tech? He locked that kid in the closet during football practice. No one liked that. It was I'm going to look up that kid. Right, his name right now. His dad was, let's see, Texas Tech player locked in closet. Let's see. James Craig. Yeah, Craig James. That's right. It was, remember him from, remember he used to be all over ESPN and then he got fired. Craig James's kid got locked in the closet about 8 years ago when he was at Texas Tech. Anyway, Mike Leach gets fired. He was the first one that kind of had that, you know, that wide open offense back in the day at Texas Tech. But this weekend, or this past week, he made great headlines for his marriage advice. I guess one reporter up there in Pullman is getting married, and just in classic Mike Leach.
My wisdom would brilliant. You have to stay out of the way. Now, and I wish you a very happy marriage, and I'm sure you'll have one. But I'm just telling you, when it comes to marriages, the women lose their mind. Your fiancé is going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. Several of your sisters and female relatives are going to lose their mind. And that they're gonna barrage you with constant questions. What should we wear? And then, which of course my answer was, I don't care. And then what color?
See, I lucked out. My wife just knew not to even ask me that. She was just like, this is what we're wearing. I'm like, okay, and this is what we're eating. I'll sample that. Yeah, I did a lot. I did the tasting. I went to a couple of the location scouting, you know, where should we get married and that sort of thing. But Mike Leach is spot on with some of this advice.
Should the invitations be? I don't care. What should we have for dessert? I don't care. Should we seat this way or that way? I don't care. But see, I don't care is not satisfactory at all.
No, it's not.
And you're going to get caught in a catch-22, and I'm certain that you already have. And that catch-22 is, well, I want you to be a part of this too. So what color invitations? All right, the blue ones. Well, I kind of like the tan ones. Okay, the tan ones then. Oh, you're just saying that because you want this over with. You're not even thinking about it, which is of course true. And then
brilliant.
What do you want for dessert? I was thinking of strawberry shortcake. Oh, okay. Yeah, strawberry shortcake would be good. Well, what about the blueberry pie? Well, I like the blueberry pie. We could have the blueberry pie. Well, I thought you said you wanted the strawberry shortcake. And it's just going to go back and forth, and they're going to play keep away from you until after you're married. So what you need to do is you need to work late hours, work late, be very nice and supportive, and but they're going to play keep away from you, and there's no answer you can give that is going to be satisfactory or correct. And if you successfully please a few of them, the others will still be, oh well, I just don't feel like he's that interested. Yeah, okay. So you need to work late, go in the back room and read a lot of books. You have to go.
He's saying just get lost, you know, just find good, productive things if you're getting married to do with your time in the months leading up to it. And I mean, this guy is such a good coach. He's coaching a nation on how to properly get married in the sense of kind of smoke and mirrors, disguising your wife, and staying out of making a lot of the important decisions in a wedding, which, you know, I feel like us guys, we're just going to mess it up. That's just something that we really shouldn't have to worry about.
Take the groomsmen out so you make sure that they march in just right and they know exactly, you know, these swell outfits that you picked out or whatever, however you're doing it. And in the end, you'll wish you eloped. But nevertheless, you need to find excuses that they'll buy to be as far out of harm's way as you possibly can. And but take comfort in knowing that once the ceremony's over, you know, life will get progressively better from there, even though there's some adjustment.
Just an amazing man. Mike Leach, I don't know. I mean, Davey Wester, who's been on the previous couple episodes, he's tired of it. He's just misses watching running backs play. So I don't know how much long, not that Davey has any say in it, but I get a sense from himself, from Davey, and then his other diehard Wazoo football fans, they're tired of Mike Leach. It's, you know, they're 7-5, you know, 8-4, winning seasons, but just they've seen enough passing is what they're saying. But Mike Leach, I love you, whether at Washington State, whether at Texas Tech, Whether you're locking Craig James's kid in a locker or in a closet, I'm fine with that. I've got a feeling his dad was on ESPN. He probably came in there with the big head, and you checked him. And then he immediately went and ratted on you to his father, who then immediately went on ESPN and ratted you out. But, you know, let's let bygones be bygones. Remember what we talked about earlier, Mike Leach? Just don't forget about Craig James. Don't worry. You're making more money in Washington State. Couple things. What else? Oh, yeah. Kathy Griffin is still being awful. Remember, she posted those daring Donald Trump mask photos where it was like his mask, but he was decapitated. It was something Anderson Cooper probably has framed at his house somewhere, autographed from Kathy. But she, if you remember, had a bunch of gigs canceled. Since then, in the past 9 months, been running all over the world performing everywhere else but America. And then I caught wind of this. This was released on Kathy's YouTube page. And it made me so happy that I felt that you guys needed to hear this.
I just want you guys to know I'm fully in the middle of a blacklist. Like, I am in the middle of a Hollywood blacklist. It is real. I am not booked on any talk shows. I'm selling tickets worldwide, which is really hard when you don't have any kind of a television platform and kind of nobody has your back and everyone thinks you're crazy. So I just want you guys to know, when I get home, I do not have one single day of paid work in front of me. And people that want me to go back and start in clubs and do 10 minutes again, I don't mean to be an asshole, but no, I'm not going to do that. I've worked way too hard to go back and work for free and do the club scene again, because this is some bullshit, because I've been blacklisted. My legal bills are through the roof, obviously, because I'm doing something I really believe in. I only have 7 more shows left on this tour, and I'm not going to lie.
You believe in it?
It's going to be hard when I go home, and I don't have one show in my future. So, no, I don't do, I know I'm being a asshole, but no, I don't want to do free shows. I don't want to do someone's 50-person club. I did that for decades.
Oh, you mean be a comedian?
I think I should be able to get my life back. So, I know I took a picture that offended a lot of people, but this wall of crap has never fallen on any woman in the history of America like it has on me.
This is the one. Okay, this is the one where really, I mean, listen to this.
Oh, no, I don't do, I know I'm being a asshole, but no, I don't want to do free shows. I don't want to do someone's 50-person club. I did that for decades. I think I should be able to get my life back.
So
I know I took a picture that offended a lot of people.
Here we go. Here it comes.
But this wall of crap has never fallen on any woman in the history of America like it has on me.
Any woman.
So just, you guys, just try to have some compassion.
She's getting it the worst.
I'm just trying to bring laughter to people. That's all I want to do. I wish I was on television.
Don't we all?
I have 2 Emmys.
I wish I was on television.
Which apparently doesn't mean anything.
No,
and I would love to be on a television show. And I want to be paid what the guys are paid.
So, I love that. I want to be paid what the guys are paid. You know what? How about you just worry about working first? This made me so happy when I heard this. First of all, it's called a career. And it plateaus and then it sinks. And talk to any comic that was huge in the 80s. What are they doing now if they're not retired? They're doing those 50-room seats, theaters, or clubs that she's shitting on because she did them for years. She's above it. Well, you're not anymore. And first of all, here's the deal. You're not that funny. That's the problem. She left thinking she's Jerry Seinfeld or just Kevin Hart or someone that people actually care about and then that has legs with their actual jokes and careers. Like, people don't even know she's a comedian. They just know her as that annoying person that's next to Anderson Cooper all the time during New Year's. But anyway, I love that because everything that she said, I want to be on TV. And then what sucks here is that she can now blame her career trajectory on this Donald Trump thing. When in reality, it was her actual career and what she does with that career that was going to just lead her in that exact same direction anyway. And that does suck. She worked 20 years to build herself up to play casinos and all that stuff all over all over the country for $50,000-$60,000. She's worth $20 million, according to internet stuff. So even if it's half, 10, whatever, you got $10 million, just zip it up, go retire somewhere, and stop bothering people. Is that too much to ask, Kathy? Is that too much to ask? Please, just go away. Okay. With that being said, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Austin Evan Wright from Adrenaline Racing. He's going to give us the insight on the next summer's racing tour that's going to be all over North America. And real quick, again, guys, go to Don Carlos Taco Shop in La Jolla, California. Regrained.com. Order some delicious energy. I call them energy bars. They're delicious and they make you feel good. So go to Regrained.com and do that. And if you need a shirt, print it up. Union Press. KC.com. We're going to call Eric and see what he's
up. Hey, buddy.
Hey, there he is. All right, listeners, you recognize that voice?
Hey, everybody. Hi, Sportsaholics. Have you been obsessed while I was gone? Oh, have you been obsessed?
Oh, they have most definitely been obsessed. So, did you go upstate? I saw you driving a lot on the 90. Is that right?
I was up on the 90. Sure, I drove by. I think it was the first time I'd seen the Carrier Dome since 1993. I drove right by it on the 81. Maybe I've seen it one other time, but it's been very rare. I left Syracuse on Independence Day, July 4th, 1993. And aside from driving through it on the New York Strait Thruway, I hadn't really quite, I hadn't stopped in and see. I actually got down on the surface streets, but then I wanted to get home. I needed to get home into New York in a timely manner with the holiday traffic. But did have amazing Dad Quest 3.
Oh, good.
On the road with my father, you know, also got to see a lot of fun football and things around, you know, because we're down in the Tampa area, then drove all the way up through Athens, Tennessee, through I did eight states in 8 days. Just a lot of fun. Wow. Just a lot of fun.
You have been in more states this year. Just really, you've been in more states in the last 3 months than most Americans travel to in their entire lives.
I just realized that I've spent over a month in hotel rooms this year, and it's still not December.
Isn't that weird? Like, you can go back and check it off. You're like, well, that was 5 weeks there. That was 3 weeks in there. And they're like, well, oh, yeah, sure. Then North Carolina, that was a thing. And then, that time in Memphis. Yeah, they add up pretty quickly.
Yep. There was a night in Memphis, and I mean, it's like we didn't even stay in Odessa, but Roswell. I mean, so there was a whole cross-country trip, Marino and Murano. Then there was, you know, opening up for Leslie in West Palm Beach and wherever else I did this year.
Which, and then, by the way, I was in Phoenix over Thanksgiving, and we were at one of the local betting establishments, and I'm sitting there playing my blackjack, and I look over, and bam, there's Leslie Jones smiling right back at me at the little, on the table, little advertising rotating thing on the LCD screen. Apparently,
you're kidding.
Leslie's going to be out in Phoenix. I think it was January 8th or sometime in the next month or two.
That's hilarious.
I was like, oh, I almost wanted to like text her and send her a picture, but I'm like, yeah, no, I think she gets it. She's famous.
Yes.
So I was curious. I'm like, I wonder if that's going to be a trip Marino will be on.
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well,
if
it comes out that you are, by all means, let us know, because we might come.
Absolutely.
That'd be a nice trip. I wanted. So you've been in New York, as you said earlier, going back home to New York City, which just sounds awesome coming from you out of your mouth.
It's different. It's really different. It actually turned out I'm going to give a shout out here to Budget Rental Cars, because that's who was Dad Quest used Budget Rental Cars, and it turns out, because I had to drive the rental car back into New York City. That was like kind of, I mean, I've driven in New York City, but I've also never really driven a rental car. It was really big. And, you know, I think that was my first time through the Lincoln Tunnel. And, you know, that's stressful. And, but amazingly, as it turns out, so I live here in Hell's Kitchen, not too far from Times Square. And it turns out that the, as I thought I'd have to return the car uptown, about 50 blocks away. Turns out, there couldn't be a budget rental car closer than, 49th Street on my block, just on the other side of my block. So I walked up a street, checked in with them. Hey, can I turn in the car here? They're like, sure.
Oh, you know, you 2 hours of just public transportation.
I took two left-hand turns and I was done. Just done.
Oh,
that's... So that was, it's been a real fortunate time, guys, you know?
Now, those little things like that, is that winning in New York? I mean, you hear so much about the people everywhere and the traffic. Is that the key to a happy life in New York City is really cherishing those small moments like, oh, the budget's just around the corner. You know, like all those little things that you have to like.
Yeah, it's unbelievable because it's like here's a great example. So on the street that I live on, just down on the at the intersection. Happens to be, I want to say it's Engine 9. It's the Engine 9 fire company for the, you know, it's a fire station right down the street.
Okay.
Now, since I don't have a car, but so here's a weird, just great New York City walking bonus is, hey, because sometimes they have to put the big fire truck in the, you know, back in the firehouse, you know, they stop traffic, which means extra easier walk to cross the street sometimes. And that's just that sometimes just not having to wait for a cross, you know, for the walking man. It's just these little things. It is little things in New York that really go a long way.
Now, has your fandom for the Patriots, has that worked against you yet? Have you got into that heated Jets? I know the Giants are horrible. Jets are average. But I mean, has being a New England Boston fan worked against you yet in New York City?
No, but the other nice thing is, I mean, one thing is, honest to God, I didn't watch a game until not this past. I've only watched two Patriot games this season. Like I've caught some glimpses.
Well, let me catch you up to speed. Dominating everybody as usual.
It was one of those things. Like to be honest, guys, as you know, as I have said many times on this program, since the amazing proof of time travel is real Super Bowl in which the Patriots, the world champion Patriots, defeated the Atlanta Falcons, that I had to go into semi-retirement. It was just too much. And there's a certain point where, hey, Tom, I'm going to call him Tom. We're friends. Tom and Bill, you know, they've won 5 rings together. They, by the way, this week they just guaranteed their 17th winning season, consecutive 17 consecutive winning seasons. And as some of you guys know, as I announced on the show, I was going to semi-retirement. And so there's a certain point, like, for example, when I interviewed for my current job here at Saturday Night Live, I actually had to interview. I got called in to meet the head writers, and it was September 8th, which happens to be Leslie Jones's birthday. And one of the odder moments was, like, people were like, hey, so, you know, instead of having the usual, hey, well, we'll let you know it was nice to meet you, et cetera, kind of meeting that you have. It was very strange to leave Saturday Night Live, and they're like, so we'll see you at Leslie Jones's party later tonight? And you're like, yeah, you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you sure will. And so that was like crazy. And that also happened to be, as you guys might know, the season kicked off on that Thursday night on September 8th. Patriots lost. I was at Leslie Jones' surprise birthday party. And it's in some ways, guys, I do love the Patriots. I love the Red Sox. I love my Celtics and Bruins and Syracuse and all that stuff. But the other thing is, I'm a sportsaholic. But now it's time to win a couple Super Bowls, a couple World Series for myself.
Yes.
So it's time to, instead of helping other people be 17% funnier or 17% more champion-like, it's time for Eric Marino to improve his whole 100%, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why when people are like, oh, wait, you know, when you should, you know, people ask about you and the show, and I say, look, Eric is very busy right now. And I just refer to it as cashing checks. And the fact that, you know, the zero checks to now, you know, weekly or biweekly, however often you get paid, you know, it's an easy, like, when Eric has time, we'll talk to Eric, just like now.
Oh,
you know?
It's bad, but I have missed you guys terribly. John, guys, thank you, John, for keeping the show going. And you do such a great job producing and hosting and interviewing and all the things you do. and the editing. He does the whole thing, guys. He does the whole thing. You know, I just shoot off my mouth and say funny things. Sometimes.
That's right. That, yeah.
You know, but, you know, and there have been a couple, we had a couple missed opportunities. I almost made some, a couple guest appearances earlier in the season. But now it's perfect because I also have some, I'll tell you something. I met the world champion, Houston Astros.
I was just going to ask you, did you get to meet Altuve and all those guys?
I sure did, because I that was one of the things that I had a part in working on. It was really amazing. It was an amazing experience. I can also say that Alex Bregman, all three of them, George, Alex, and they were just all, Jose, they were all great. It was also one of the amazing moments of, like, I mean, I was sitting, it's like I sort of knew they were coming. I think I knew they were coming on Thursday night. And that was also like, but at the same time, you knew they were coming on Saturday, and, like, you know, Friday morning afternoon was their victory parade in Houston. And it was, it's an amazing feeling to know that, like, hey, you had the World Series MVP, and now the, you know, Altuve turned out to be the AL MVP for the whole league. And these guys, and, you know, World Series hero, third baseman Alex Bregman, they're all getting on a plane tomorrow to come see Leslie Jones and be on Saturday Night Live. And you could see how exhausted they were. George was literally like asleep in one of the chairs at one point. It was a very funny. It was a very funny moment too, because like Altuve was laying down on one of the couches in another. They were in a very large green room, dressing room area, but there was a smaller room inside, and Altuve was lying. And it was very odd. What I always remember about it is like he was laying on the couch, but he was only laying like halfway on the couch, and like his. And his legs, like at his knees, were like over the arm of the couch. You know what I'm saying?
Like the ultimate relaxation pose.
Right. He's elevating his legs, but also then above his head is just a baseball bat, just hanging out. Like it's just so. And if you guys who watch the show, and if you guys haven't, you can check out just check out Leslie Jones Astros. If you Google that, you get the YouTube of the
Dodgers. Here to talk about it is new baseball fan Leslie Jones.
Woo! What's up,
Tommy? How's it going, Leslie? I didn't know you were such a big Yankees fan.
Yes, I am, you bountiful snowman. For all the wrong reasons, okay? I love to see those fine men in their tight little pinstripe pants. You should hear me at the game. Hey, Gary Sanchez. When you gonna come hit this out the park? Hey, Gregorius, you can round my bases anytime because you are gorgeous. I am a diehard fan, Colin. Look at this pic. Look at this pic of me at the game.
Okay.
Yeah, there's Gary Sanchez at bat. And there's me looking at that ass. Gary, that net can't keep us apart, not for long.
Well, you must have been pretty upset then when the Yankees lost in the ALCS to the Astros.
Oh, Colin! We were so close, one game away from the World Series. Colin, have you ever gotten so close to something only to have it taken from you?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's because you white. You get every damn thing. But I was mad as hell. Okay? That little Altuve hit all those home runs against us. The bat is bigger than him. And the MVP, George Springer, he is Panamanian and Puerto Rican. His name is George Springer. Come on, man. That's the name of a goofy mattress salesman.
Excuse me. How was that? What was that? Yeah, let me know. Since we already know that you don't actually watch baseball, we'd really like to give you a gift today.
Okay, you can give me anything you want. That's for sure.
This is some Astros swag so you can hop on the bandwagon too.
Oh, whatever. Oh, this is so cool.
How would you like it?
Oh, I like balls. yeah, I love it. I love it.
It's funny because actually Leslie was Colin.
I know what I said, but these men are fine as hell. I take it all back. Congratulations, you guys. I love watching y'all win. Congratulations. Man, I thought it was so sweet that Correa proposed to his girlfriend at the end of the game. I mean, it's so romantic. It looked like this dude on one knee right now.
It's not Jose's fault he's short.
Oh, that's okay, baby. Come here. Let me tell you something. Yeah. Now, this is not something I usually say at all. I mean, never. But good things do come in small packages.
We just had a very funny, you know, Leslie being a diehard Yankee fan, a recent diehard Yankee fan. Bregman made a very funny joke about how the Yankees got a lot of rest and have been resting for a little while longer than, you know, because they were sent home by the Astros. You know, and then Leslie quickly snapped back, being the Yankee fan, and she's like, all right, well, you know, you get 26 more of these World Series and we can talk, which I really appreciate Leslie in the world of sportsaholics. Just, you know, she had it at her fingertips and she was ready to go, giving, you know, we respect game and banter here at Sportsaholics.
No, absolutely. So, that's the classic Yankee reply. Talk to me when you get 25. Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. Got it.
But the other thing was, it was like, so they gave her like a hat and a jersey and a ball, but it was one of the things that it was like, the funny thing was the bat wasn't part of the swag they were giving to Leslie. So I was just really, it's like, these guys are such baseball players. They literally just travel with a bat. Like, it's comforting to them.
They're like, just to like, lean on just, it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, no, literally just to have it above his head while he sort of sleeps on a couch. Like, that's a relaxing thing for him. Like, that's just, they're so baseball players. They're so baseball. They have baseball bats. And I was just like, you know, that is like, that will always epitomize. That was like the most baseball thing I've ever seen, not on a baseball field. I guess I'll put it that way.
Yeah, no, you know? There's something about a bat. I picked up a bat just so I can lean, you know, if I'm on the phone, just swing it around a little bit, you know, and just it's a nice tension release.
Sure, know? I get it.
Just make sure you don't hit anything.
which inevitably you do. You know, so it was amazing. So that was a real epic treat, and that's the it's also one of those things that it's how amazing things can change and at SNL, because like in the beginning of the week, it was just Leslie and I had worked on an update that was just about her being a Yankees fan, having gone and like sort of it's, some of the stuff is in there about her hooting and hollering at Gary Sanchez. And Gary Sanchez, by the way, gave a great shout out to Leslie, you know, for hooting at his backside. So that was a little love. Lots of fun.
Yeah, and I saw Leslie and Dwayne Wade getting into it, I guess, courtside last week or something.
Yeah, and then it's like, that's also the other thing. It's like, you know, it's like I'm friends and work with this person, and then I have to be like, you had, like, Dwayne Wade gave you his shoes on the court, and I have to hear about it from other people?
Yeah, like, you're like, that should have been like a live streaming. You should have been live streaming that.
Yeah, that's great, you know. In fact, there were New York Knicks tickets available today that came up at the last minute. That, you know, everyone on the cast and crew had access to like Lorne Michaels' good seats. But I just they're playing the Trailblazers as we record this.
No,
but I just I actually have to. And after I do this, there's a little bit of work to be done tonight,
good,
so we can get into tomorrow. So
very nice, very nice.
Or at the very least, I have to think about working so I can be ready to do the actual work, having thought about it.
now, are there any, you got any athletes hosting it all coming up this year?
I haven't seen any yet. I can't really announce any, but when you specifically say athletes, I can't think, like, there isn't a Peyton Manning coming. There isn't anybody specifically. There was a thing that we almost had Justin Verlander and Kate Upton do a cameo the week after we had the other Astros on. But that just didn't pan out. That just didn't, or just didn't happen. Who knows? You know.
Dude, that's, and so aside from staying busy, it sounds like you've kind of carved yourself a little routine and somewhat of a steady lifestyle out there in New York for yourself already.
Well, we're just starting. We're just starting, guys. And you know, anybody who, you know, guys who are in New York, any New York listeners, please, you know, feel free to, you know, hit us up on Twitter and give Marino recommendations for things you should check out and see. And, you know, we'd really, Marino would be very appreciative of that, because Marino's talking about himself in the third person. So, you know, this Saturday Night Live thing has definitely gone to Marino's
head.
And, But then again, it's much more sportsy. Like Eric Marino is doing what Eric Marino needs to do to keep Eric Marino in the big show, big time show business.
Now, now you got any trips planned back west for the holidays?
We have the big, well, back west. I may be in, we'll see what New Year's brings. I may be, I don't know where I'll be on New Year's. I may be in LA. That could be a week in LA.
Nice.
But I don't know. It's like, the nice thing is, you know, I just did, Dad Quest 3 with my dad, up from Tampa to Cleveland. You know, which is always fun. By the way, it's like, you know, it's like, you get this great sense. Like, it's like, you know, I just went through Rocky Top, Tennessee, and you see what happened with Shiano, you know, and, right. And you get to go through, you drive through the rolling hills of Kentucky, and you go through Cincinnati and Xavier. So you think a lot about the college schools. You know, when I arrived in Tampa, Tampa was playing the Dolphins in that terrible game that they played against each other, in which Matt Moore celebrated tying up the game where there was still 2 minutes left, and you're going, dude, why are you celebrating? It's like in 2 minutes, you're going to lose by three. Like, everyone in the world knows this game ends on a field goal, which it did. And so it's always great to see games with my dad. He's getting to see some Patriot games. And then, it was just great to also, I was also, again, to budget rent a car with the XM Sirius. That's a good thing. Getting to listen to, your home or away, It was a great call of the Patriots Miami game on Sunday, especially because evidently to the radio announcers from the New England side, the officiating were terrible. I guess there was like the youngest ref in the league was reffing that game, and no one was happy with how he was calling it. No one.
Yeah, I feel like you got to put the rookies in the Patriots game. That's like a, you know, it's almost like your spring training, because you got to deal with Belichick and his coaching staff. And then plus it's almost like the Patriots are going to be winning by so much. So if you make a bad play call, it's not going to affect the outcome of the game.
I can tell you that for those of you who watch the game, and you can be guaranteed that the one time I was out of the car not listening I just thought I was getting out. The Patriots had possession. They were up by 14. And they were just starting to drive. And I'm like, okay, I can turn off the game for a second and gas up the car. Well, when I get back in the car, it's 14-7 because of a fumbled long snap. And suddenly it's 14-7. You can bet I didn't get out of the car again.
You're like, Dad, you're in charge of all peeing and gassing from this point on. Well, nice, man. Hey, I appreciate, you know, just taking a couple minutes here and, you know, just filling the listeners back in onto your well-beings and your writing and everything else. And
hey, guys, check out Saturday Night Live this week with Shashir Rowan and musical guest U2. It should be a special week. We have a big Christmas show December 16th. I don't think I can announce the host yet, but he's a very funny actor comedian that is very recognizable. And it will be a big, that's December 16th. And, hey guys, I'm looking forward to seeing the Shees and doing that and talking to you guys again with more fun stories.
All right, so clearly that wasn't Austin. That was Eric. Eric, good to have you back on the show. We've been missing you. I'm excited about going out to visit. I'd probably be winter. I don't want to go out dead winter, New York. I'm thinking like, you know, maybe springtime. I'm just hoping to get out there, catch a live showing. That would have been sweet just to pop in on Jose Altuve, just taking a nap on a couch with a bat, you know, all 5'7" of them. Eric, glad things are going well. Listeners, again, go ahead and watch that SNL. Support when you can. Real quick, just talking after talking to Eric, I realized that I forgot to talk about Blade Runner. I saw Blade Runner 2049 last night. Long movie, boring movie. It just Ryan Gosling is, you know, the first of all, 2049. I don't see the world looking like that. Maybe if it was 2149, okay, sure. But I'm like, there's no way that all that stuff's going to get built and this level of destruction is going to happen just in the next 30 years. I mean, I hope not. Anyway, the future looks very shitty if that's what it looks like in 2049. But Gosling is okay. I didn't believe it, if that makes sense. Like, you watch him get emotional, and I'm like, I don't really think you care that much. But what one thing I came away from the movie learning is that even Ryan Gosling is so irresistible to females that even an artificial intelligence female wants to have sex with Ryan Gosling. He has this fake girlfriend. She solicits a prostitute so that she can somehow merge into this prostitute's body just so she can sleep with Ryan Gosling. So if you take away anything from that movie, 2049 Blade Runner 2049, is that even artificial intelligence are willing to sleep with Ryan Gosling. Okay. That's right. I wanted to get that out there. And don't see the movie. It's not worth your time. I don't think. Even if you like sci-fi, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes of just average. I don't care what Rotten Tomatoes says. Okay. And with that, now we're going in to talk to Austin and the Ride, Joe and Line Racing. As promised, with Austin Evan Wright, who's a previous guest here on Sportsaholics, but Austin is on the frontier of drone racing and runs a drone line racing out of Topeka, Kansas. Austin, how are you doing, man? Thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm doing just fine. How are you, sir?
I'm not, no complaints. Had a good Thanksgiving. Went out to Phoenix. It was, you know, 87, nice and warm. Good company. Good people, food, all that stuff. Got, you know, minimal traffic. Just, you know, a quick 6-7 hours in the car back and forth.
Ooh. We don't do that. We stay at home. People come to us. But it was really nice this year. It was like 75 degrees outside. And, yeah, that's it awesome. Was a good Thanksgiving, like always, family and friends.
I can only imagine. See, listeners, Austin and I go back, I don't know, 5-6 years, something like that. And his family is incredible. They're just outgoing, just loving, caring people, and have a wide assortment of entertainment at your mother's house. I mean, there's games. I believe, was there a pool table, or was it a ping pong or foosball, or maybe all?
They do have the man cave. Yeah, they've got the a full size like shuffleboard table. That's usually the draw whenever we're down there partying. The full shuffleboard table. With the pucks and the sand and the but yeah, they got a pool table.
That's
it's
right,
a cool little
right.
pad. The jukebox, it still works and plays 45s. You know, the old little tiny album records.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it's a pretty cool little spot down
yeah,
there.
That sounds like a good. That yeah, I can only imagine that was a good Thanksgiving. So
full bar.
I wanted of course that's how they do it in Topeka, and then mm-hmm. and then you also have to go out and steal someone's Amazon package off their front porch. And then that's
right.
That's a full Topeka Thanksgiving right there.
Yep.
No, I wanted to congratulate you on the 1 year anniversary of Adrenaline Racing. Congratulations.
Yes. Thanks, man. November 18th, 2016 was when we opened our doors. So
And in the year since you opened, you've branched out into things that I'm sure that not even you had anticipated or expected, maybe dreamed of, but it's been a crazy past year for Adrenaline Racing and yourself. I mean, that's kind of putting it lightly.
It has been a blur. It has been crazy. I did not know what I was getting into when I got into this entire, you know, I didn't know anything about anything in RC industry at all last June, you know, a year ago, and so year and a half ago.
Well, I just real quick, I want you to list off all the states you've been to in the last 12 months. Go.
Oh, God. Everything south of Kansas, west and east. Everywhere, man. Drone racing has taken us so many places. So I was telling you earlier that do we want to get into that? I've sponsored a pilot now.
Yeah. Absolutely. We get into whatever you want, man.
This kid and his family I've met from Colorado. So I'm in Topeka, Kansas, northeast corner of Kansas. They live in Pueblo, Colorado.
Hour from Kansas City. It's an hour from Kansas City, west.
Topeka, yes.
Also the capital of the state of Kansas.
A tiny little capital, yeah, like 120,000 people. So met these fine folks from Colorado at a race that I hosted, became good friends with them, didn't realize that the kid was even a decent pilot, but I hit it off with his family. We became friends, and the next thing I know, the kid wins the race, like took first and like destroyed everybody. And so I was like, hey, you know, we should – If the kid wants sponsored, I'd like to, you know, sponsor him, and we could go up to Muncie, Indiana, for this big, huge race that had like 362 pilots or something from all around the world. And I was like, I'll love to sponsor him. And so that's how it all kind of started. And now he's like one of the top like 10 pilots in the world. This kid, he took third in, I can't remember. He just took third in Louisville. I don't know how many times he's podiumed and placed, but. This most recent race in Louisville, he took third place, and so now he's won a round trip to Mumbai, India, to compete for $150,000.
Are you kidding me? Do you have
no?
Did you get your passport already?
Yes. I think. So,
get it. I mean, don't sleep
Amy
on that passport.
Says I shouldn't go because she thinks I'm going to get kidnapped by gypsies. I don't know. I'm not a big let's go all the way across the world kind of person, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean,
am the team owner.
Look, it's flattering just to be invited, you know.
Right.
Kind of a thing. And so as a sponsor, like what's your support there? Are you providing kind of like some of the repair work, some of the equipment itself, covering travel?
The equipment, so he's got some really good equipment sponsors. Futaba is a huge remote control company or transmitter company. And let's see, Lumineer, he's got a couple like really big name sponsors, and then I'm just this kind of mom and pop shop, but I pay for his travel and hotels and all that stuff, and I take his family to dinner. That's what's so cool, is that they had this awesome family dynamic. His mom and dad are so sweet, and his little brother Blake, I love him to pieces. They go to all the races together, so it has this family support dynamic that I love to see.
Now, is that a big part of the community? You see a lot of families at these races?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of regulars definitely at these races.
And then everyone else is just jealous.
I would say probably half a dozen people that bring the whole wife and kids and kind of hang out and do it for the whole week. It's really cool.
Nice. And then the other half are just jealous because they know who their father is. But that's cool.
They're lonely. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
Yes, they're sad and lonely.
Nice.
It's just crazy. The family dynamic is awesome. And so, and then I have Kyle. He's kind of he's one of my employees, but he's become a good buddy, and he is a genius. And I'm convinced that he knows everything on planet Earth about anything. So I take him, and he is our tech, and he is our pit crew. So that way, Chance, in between all the craziness, and Chance's dad actually kind of participates in building all the quads and doing some of that stuff. But in the rate, you know, in the atmosphere of the racing and in the pits, the craziness that goes on there, Kyle can handle those quick fixes before Chance has to go fly. And I think it has a psychological effect in that, you know, Chance can just focus on the racing, doesn't have to worry about the stress of fixing his quad. But there's not a lot of people doing this. I mean, in fact, like we're the first person to show up with like a full on team, like matching shirts. You know, I work at an advertising company, so we're always matching, and we have stickers and hats and shit.
Nice. So, you get to be the Don King.
Yeah.
Be like,
I'm
there
branded,
you go.
Baby. I'm a whore. Champion. I'm an adrenaline whore. Yeah. I'm a walking billboard. It's ridiculous.
That's, hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And I noticed you were at in Reno. I think that was this past summer, and it looked like that was kind of like, it was like a national championship or something. That looked like it was like a lot of people.
That was the Reno National Championships.
I thought I'd remembered that right.
It was being held at an event that already happens every year called the Reno Air Races, which was absolutely incredible to watch. These awesome planes that we were on the runway, basically set up. The Multi-GP had the track set up there. Multi-GP, I guess they're the NASCAR of drone racing. They're a racing organization, global. And so if you get into drone racing, you log into Multi-GP, you have your local chapter, like KC Multi-Rotor in Kansas City, or in San Diego, they have a couple down there, clubs that you can search and join. And so these chapters, I just completely lost train of thought because I'm reading my text.
Oh, no, it's all good. Multi-GP.
These chapters around the world are Multi-GP chapters. And so anywhere you go, you can find a chapter, join it, and then join their races. And then they have their own little qualifiers.
Okay.
And then people that qualify in those regions can qualify for Reno Nationals or whatever the major events are throughout the year. And that's kind of how you get into the whole, you know, the drone racing circuit. A lot of people go out and buy these, and I know I'm kind of straying away from the question here.
No,
a lot of people go out and buy these racing simulators, flight simulators from the DRL on their website, or Steam has a couple, like Liftoff and Velocidrone. And they are pretty accurate to what it really feels like to fly a drone. And so people have actually gotten picked up by the Drone Racing League by posting really good times online. And so then the DRL will reach out to you on your email and say, hey, we noticed that you, you know, posted a 10-second lap. Would you be interested in coming, you know, to the XYZ race and trying to qualify in real life? And so there's been a handful of pilots already that have kind of been hand selected in that fashion. So it's pretty cool.
And so for the listeners out there, they're like, okay, I've seen the Drone Racing League. I've seen people like practicing at the park. I can go to adrenalineracing.com, which is, listeners, is ADRONEALINE, Adrenaline Racing, RACING.com, adrenalineracing.com. Is there a kit that they can buy, or what's the price range for them to get started?
There's so many. Okay, so you can get into it pretty inexpensive. You start off with what they call a tiny whoop or something that kind of fits in your hand. You're getting into about the $150 price range. The ones that the pilots race with can be up to $1,000. The quads, some of their controllers are even a couple $1,000 once you get really serious into it. But you can get into the actual racing drones with the controller, with the goggles, with the camera, everything you need to do the FPV first person view experience for under $500 ish.
Okay.
Out the door. What I suggest to people is look up those clubs on multigp.com, find your area guy. I mean, I'm not trying to run business off you. You're welcome to go to adrenalineracing.com, but find that local chapter. And they'll say, hey, go over here to Serge's shop at Pyroflip, or go over here. You know, there's places all around where you know, they'll pop up. They'll have their favorite places and get into your community that way. And that know what you're doing, because you can order anything online from anywhere in China, and it could show up and you have no idea what to do with all these pieces. It's just best to find somebody and get in the community and just say, hey, guys, can you kind of help me out? And that's what I love about this community. Everybody is so willing to reach out and help anybody. It's awesome. So search those local chapters on multigp.com.
Multigp.com?
Yes. MultiGP.com. Multigp.com.
Got it. And so I wanted to talk about the tour. I noticed I've been reading online posts about tour buses and thousands of miles and dozens of cities and what's that all about?
Diving in head first is what that is called. So last July I had a huge event here in Topeka with this company called Light Tracks, and I met Dave Mouquet, M-O-Q-U-A-Y Mouquet. He's a guy from France and an artist, and he's created this piece of art really out of LED lights. It's this beautiful, colorful, I can't even really explain it. It's just you have to see it to understand it. But it's an LED piece of art, and met him, had the track here in Topeka. We hit it off. After we were kind of tearing the thing down a week later, I was like, Dave, we should really think about taking this thing on some sort of a, you know, like a mini tour and take it to the pilots? And he said, yeah, I've been kicking that idea around for a little while. I would like to discuss that. And I'm like, no, let's really stop talking about it. Let's do it. You know, I'm always like, just let's quit talking about it. Let's try to do it. And so then a couple weeks later, you know, I'm still kind of bugging him. And so it just kind of came to. I think I bugged him enough that he was like, Austin's crazy enough to do this. And so I'm starting to find sponsors, and direct sponsors that are in the drone industry are excited about it, because in sort of a business model, they'll have an opportunity to actually take their products, brand new products, to the pilots in their cities at these venues and kind of marry them together. And then while we're in the cities, we're actually going to have a team of some of my friends that I've met in the last year and a half, like Jesse Perkins from Tiny Whoop and Jet, who is Jordan Timken from Colorado. He's the two-time ESPN champion, like the defending champion right now on the Drone Racing League. But we're going to go out into these communities while we're in these cities. We're going to go to bars at night. During the day, we'll go to skate parks and malls and food courts and anywhere we can find fun people, put the goggles on them, and let them fly these drones around, because this hobby and sport has such an addicting, like, once you try it, like, you cannot not want to do it again. It's so awesome once you feel how it feels to
maybe
fly.
Maybe that's something where it's, you get an adult thing where you get like an event and liquor license, and then you put up like beer tents. It's like a beer, craft beer festival adult driving.
I can touch on some Top Golf stuff. Like Top Golf is getting ready to start doing some really exciting events with drones at their venues. Okay, so the tour, we're going to 14 cities for 14 weeks, and we're taking this to the pilots. So the sponsors are excited about it because we're going to take their products to the pilots. But we're also going to go out into the communities and just rile people up, do news interviews, radio, TV, newspaper, social media blasts, and really let everybody know what the hell drone racing is and that it's in their town.
Right.
Get them to come to the event on Saturday night when we have the main event. But we're going to set up in each city for 5 days. I came up with this word qualifying. So basically the pilots can come and go as they please throughout the week and fly and try to post the top 20 lap times. Those top 20 lap times will then move on to Saturday night's main event, where they'll compete in the pro tier. Then all the other pilots, 100 or so pilots that didn't make the top 20, will compete in a lower tier, and the top two from each tier, so the champions of both those tiers, those guys will go to Topeka next Halloween. We're going to fly in a corn maze, and I called it Children of the Corn. And so
one of the creepiest movies of all time, by the way, especially when you're 13, 12 years old.
Oh. And now I've punned it into death.
It's beautiful.
And that's for $35,000 cash. And so,
That's basically
what it is. 14 cities in 14 weeks. I'll run down the cities real quick. So if your listeners are in any of the cities, it starts in Phoenix, Albuquerque, Austin, Dallas, Oklahoma City, Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, Kansas City, Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, and then we end in San Diego. And that was all from memory.
Dude, that's beautiful. And again, you can also go to Adrenaline Racing on Facebook, has a lot of this information, like their page. You know, obviously you can get all the stuff there. Dude, that is incredible. I mean, especially all this in a year. Imagine 5 years from now. I mean, luckily you're the type of person that's go, 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 and you're very driven. And, you know, you obviously, you're one of those, I don't know how many times I've seen you post something. It'll be like 4 a.m, especially when you were setting the shop up, be like 5:30 a.m. You're like, all right, just finished putting in the register and the security system. Right. Got to go make breakfast for the kids and take them to school.
Well, on Amy's behalf, good God, my wife has put up with so much. But yes, she has really been there and done all of that stuff to support all of this. And we also own the hair salon, so she's there full time most of the time, doing that gig and keeping up with my dumbass. And so she's really been
ass.
There
no, she's
to
fantastic.
Support me when I am painting at 5:30 a.m. or whatever the hell I was doing. So
okay, love you, babe. Drone, racing aside, I want to talk about personal fitness, because you, my cousin's husband, Doug, and you have both achieved just incredible a physical feat over the past 15, 16 months in weight loss. How did you do it? Like, what were the specs? Like, where did you, I mean, you didn't really, I guess you wore it well. You're a big guy, so I know you weighed a lot, or, you know, but it, you didn't, you know what I mean? It, like, it snuck
yeah,
up.
Yeah, no, I just had the big beer belly. It just got out of control. okay,
but you look, you look fantastic now.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I lost, in all, basically 100 pounds exactly. And I did it at about, I think it was about 8 months total or so. And I started, the whole kind of whatever journey people, I don't know, isn't what a journey, but,
undertaking, I would say undertaking,
yeah.
Remodeling, the remodeling.
It started from this honest to God true story. Okay. So the night after the Royals won the World Series,
amen.
I got sick. And what happened was, I had a few beers, like some Tank Sevens, like some really good, malty beer from Boulevard. Had, you know, a few shots, nothing too crazy or rambunctious. But the trick of it all is I had, like, at 3 in the morning before I went to bed, I had a little bowl of chili, some homemade chili. Oh. And that just kind of sat up in my chest all night long, right?
Oh, heartburn, all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah, nasty. And so the next morning, I woke up and I felt sick, and I did. I came into the bathroom and I got sick, and I shot a spicy chili bean out my nostril.
Oh.
And I was angered at this chili bean. Like, I cursed at it. I remember cussing. And Amy was like, "What's wrong? You know, I don't know." And it was the bean's fault, really. My nose was burnt, and so I told, you know, made the classic statement. I said, "I'm done drinking, never drinking again." Ha ha. And so Amy was like, "Yeah, right." And so then I kind of did. I was like, "No, I've at least got to take a couple days off. I just shot a bean out my nose, because of alcohol, basically."
right.
That's where I draw the line. Is that a legume? I don't know what a bean is. The bean's a bean. But
yeah,
it
came
out
my nose.
Are we
talking
a
black bean, or what are we talking, kidney?
It was I make a three bean chili. I don't want to get into the ingredients, but
like
it could have been any.
It sounds like
it
was a kidney. It's a tough skin.
Dark red, light red kidneys, and some sort of a garbanzo. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. I see what
but
we're
the
doing.
Point was, it shot out my nose. It burned. I was mad, so I quit drinking. Like, it was the bean's fault. But because of that, like a few days of non-drinking, you know, you start feeling a little bit better. You kind of come out of that cloud where you're used to having a beer every, you know, night, pretty much playing my video games.
Yeah. It's routine more than anything. I think that's with any addiction, it's just habit. Like, oh, okay, if I'm sitting here, why not? You know, it's.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. I wasn't drinking like 30 pack a night. I mean, granted, sometimes when my buddies and I'd go out, I would drink a lot of beer and get drunk. But, you know, I was just hanging out, drinking, you know, a couple few beers a night, maybe having a shot here and there.
Yeah, I can remember having a good time a couple times out in Topeka after some shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pounding some headaches, sure.
Video games,
I gave
absolutely.
20 years of my life beer. You know, beer, me and beer had a really good relationship for a long time. But I don't miss it now. So after a few days, quit drinking, started feeling better, but I just started shedding pounds. And so I was that person that said, I'll never be 260. I'll never be 275. I'll never be 285. Okay, I'll never be 300. But when I, after the Royals game, right when I started, you know, this whole non-drinking thing, I was 300 pounds, like 300 pounds exactly. I was like, holy shit, I'm a fat ass. And then I just kind of started shedding the pounds. And so to change my routine at night, I was still doing my little Battlefield 4 games and playing my Battlefield. And in between maps, instead of getting up and grabbing a beer and maybe having a shot of Fireball, I started getting down and doing push-ups in between maps. And so when I first started, you know, I used to be in the Air Force. And when I was in the Air Force, I could do like 50 or 60 push-ups easily. When I got down to start this whole push-up thing, I couldn't do like 7. Like, I was done. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm such a pussy. I can't even do 7 push-ups.
Yeah, okay.
But then it took me about a week and, you know, some pride swallowing because I felt like such a sissy. But about a week and a half later, I was up to where I could comfortably do 20 or 25 push-ups. And so that's what I did. In between every map, I'd get down and do 25 push-ups. And so you figure I'd do about 8 or so maps a night. That's 200 push-ups a night that I started doing. And I did that for a long time. And then I got a bike and I started riding the bike a lot. And then, you know, I lost 100 pounds. But I cut out all alcohol. I just quit drinking. I drank for a long time. I loved it. Had a lot of good partying, but it was, you know, that chapter's done, baby.
Yeah, no, and I mean, so, for many reasons. One, financially, I mean, it's not, alcohol's not free. Two, like, your health is a big part of it. And three, like, when you are busy and you're doing a lot of stuff, it, you know, it can be distracting.
Oh, there's just no time for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even if I, like, casually drank right, like, now in my life, there wouldn't be time. Like, and things, oh, shit, there's no time for anything now, right. Dude.
You're like,
now
I gotta get up at 5:30 tomorrow to set up this track, or, you know, or...
Oh, correct,
We're driving to Buffalo tomorrow, so we're leaving at 5 a.m., or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it does sound like it's exhausting. Entrepreneurship is one of the hardest things ever, but I love it. I wouldn't change anything for the world. We're pioneering. We're trying to create this whole brand new, super exciting video game / sport. And so, you know, I'm not worried about making money right now. Return on investment is the ultimate goal, obviously. But right now we're really focused on, or I am at least, building the community and getting a lot of this drone STEM stuff into the schools and the curriculum. So these kids can start, you know, using this to their advantage and making money and creating jobs with it. So
now, to bring back up the tour. Now, how is that going to work from city to city? Is it going to be there's qualifying races that happen the first the first leg, and then
I think that's where I strayed. Yeah, I'm a strayer, if you haven't noticed.
No,
so we're going to be in each city, and basically we set this track up inside a hockey rink, so we already have the protection of the glass, and then there's also safety netting on either end where the goals are, and so that's where the seating will be. We've got a band and a DJ that sits up in a shark tank, we call it, but it's basically a safety netting cage that's on the racetrack. So that's where the band and the DJ perform from. And then we set up from Tuesday through Saturday. The guys can come and go as they please, all the pilots, from Tuesday through Friday and qualify. And then the top 20 times, like I said, compete for the main event. Okay. On Saturday night. And then after we crown those two champions, after the whole 14 city thing is done, all of those guys come to Topeka for a finale race, and all the other guys can also come for a second chance in the finale race in Topeka for $35,000.
Nice. So you'll have a completely new qualifying race stop in Topeka, and then you'll also have the finals race with everyone that's won already. Throughout the tour, but all those
pilots that competed throughout the tour can come to Topeka next October for a second chance qualifier. That's why all these people, you know, there was 160 some odd pilots in Reno, and only like 30 some odd, I think 32 of those pilots actually qualified for the event. The rest of them were there just for a second chance.
Nice. Dude, that's awesome. So, yeah. And again, that's multigp.com as far as the community thing. Like Austin suggested, you just, you know, go into your local shop, which is great, because then, like you said, if you got questions, they can troubleshoot stuff like that that might save you a lot of time and money and a lot of good advice.
And that's the thing, you know, I don't even have time for anymore, is when I got into this, I had to learn everything there was to know about drones, because, you know, they're new and everybody kind of does. But since then, I've hired Kyle and CJ and Christopher and Kaylee, and so I've got employees that can do a lot of this stuff and learn a lot of this stuff that I don't have time to even keep up with. So now my employees, like CJ especially, he's like, hey, this thing's coming out in a couple of weeks, we should really order some. You know, they're the ones that are kind of keeping me abreast of all the product knowledge, information stuff now. So
now,
that
is that
I'm
because
on all the other business development.
Is the industry growing pretty rapidly? I mean, it seems like that's been the...
almost too rapidly, because there's this hype train effect where something will come out and it's really cool. And everybody's like, this is the greatest motor ever. And it's funny, there was even a motor that came out recently by Rotorite called the Hype Train Motor. but it's really cool for like 3 weeks until the next guy comes out with the next Hype Train cool motor.
I've just seen a lot of headlines that are just like, this is great. Or like, look at this trend in drone sales. Or, you know, this is the hottest new thing.
It's just a lot of a turnover of product, because, you know, nobody knows that the next greatest thing is just adding, you know, on-screen display. And so then everybody wants to add that to the cameras. And so all the cameras come out with that. but trying to get the price down, I think, is important. It's still a little pricey for some people to get into. What I try to tell parents is, like I said, about the $500 price range. But once you get like a Taranis, for instance, which is one of the transmitter brands, which all the pros use, a Taranis QX7 or an X90 Plus, those are about $125, $130, and that stores memory for 60 drones. So oh, okay. I tell parents, once you get that remote control out of the way and a decent pair of goggles, that's your Xbox. And then you can build those drones for $150 if you skimp on some parts. And so those are your games now, are the drones. And so you get a good pair of goggles and a decent controller, and then you're pretty much set. You can go buy a pre-built drone. Granted, it costs more to do it that way. But we suggest that you buy some parts, find a club, learn how to build it, because you definitely are going to crash it and you'll need to know how to repair it. So
nice. And then what is, as far as practicing with it, what's the best way? Is it go to a park, or are there areas designated for drone flight, like typically in cities? Or
that's what I'm working on here in Topeka, trying to get a couple locations, indoor and outdoor, where we can have a drone space. A lot of cities and a lot of municipalities and local law enforcement are starting to put signs up saying, hey, no drones in this park, no drones here. A lot of it's for the photography purposes, but now, you know, a lot of people are, you know, these things can be dangerous. If you get out of control, or if you lose it somehow, or you lose connection and it keeps going and you can't see where it's going because your goggles lost connection, it could crash into somebody or hurt somebody. So I get why people and cities are starting to kind of crack down. It makes sense. But that's good for me, because I want to open these parks to make it so we can have our own safe spot, you know, just like we did with skateboards and skate parks. So,
you know, exactly. And then if you can provide that, and then that just makes the level of entertainment even better, because, you know, there's other people there they can compete with, and the overall experience of actually owning a drone is, I think, a lot better that way, if you can just go there.
Yeah.
Because when I skateboarded in middle school, we didn't have skate parks anywhere. And then the generation of kids after, like 10 years later, that's when all the cities started building skate parks. And I was like, you know what? That would have been a lot better if there was actually a ramp or anything other than just a street curb, you know, to actually skate on.
Right.
So that's awesome.
Before
we wrap up, anything else you want to mention?
Oh gosh. There's too many things going on in my life right now, other than, aside from drone racing, just the, you know, thanks to first my family and my friends and my parents and everybody for their support. It's been a awesome year. It's been exhausting, but I wouldn't change it for the world. So I guess I just say thank you to everybody, man. It's so grateful for everything that's happened this last year. I hope we keep on moving, buddy.
Nice. And again, that's adrenalineracing.com, AdrenalineRacing.com racing.com, and then multimultigp.com. That's for your local chapters of drone racing, if you're looking to get into the sport. And then Facebook, go like Adrenaline Racing. And then obviously, if you got any questions, I'm sure just, you know, hit them up. You know, website.
We'll point you in the right direction. Yeah, we'll find somebody in your local area for you. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hit us up.
You're awesome. Thanks for coming on. And
hey, man, always a pleasure.
We'll probably
love you like a brother.
Yeah, we'll have you back on the 2-year anniversary after the tour, see how everything goes.
Cool, man. Safe travels. I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what the mama saw. It was against the law. Your mama looked down and spit on the ground every time my name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where.
All right, then.
Goodbye to Rose. All right, thank you, Austin, for coming on again and just educating the masses here. And like you said, go visit your local chapter if you're really interested in getting into this. I feel like it's a nice hybrid of video games mixed with actually going outside. If you got young kids, you know, nothing wrong with the sun and the elements, maybe some rain. I know a lot of you out there that have small children, they haven't actually been touched by rain yet, even though they're 8 or 9 years old, because they haven't been outside long enough. So maybe this is an activity to persuade them to go get into nature. But anyway, adrenalineracing.com, obviously support them. And surprisingly, you know, Austin was saying, you know, you don't have to, I'm saying go buy stuff from his website, or if you're in Kansas City area or Topeka, Lawrence, that area in the Midwest, venture out to the actual brick and mortar drone line racing, but obviously, you know, pick up some stuff on the website. And that will, I think, conclude episode 153. Good to have Eric on. Austin, again, thanks for your time. Run through the sponsors again real quick. If you are hungry, go to regrained.com. Great protein. Again, just bars, a protein bar, whatever. They're delicious. You feel good. You don't feel fat after you eat them. I've had all the flavors. They're good. So regrained.com. If you need any shirts printed up, go to unionpresskc.com. unionpresskc.com. Quick, fast, great prices, all that good stuff. And then if you're hungry and you're in Southern California, venture on down to Don Carlos Tacos on Pearl Street, Kitty Catty Corner from the world-famous comedy store down there in La Jolla. So go check them out. Follow them online at Eat a Burrito. Everywhere social media is found. Guys, thanks for listening. Stay obsessed.
A full bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Daylight come and we want go home. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Is a day, oh.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Day, is a day, is a day, is a day.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Deo, Deo.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Deo, is that